back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Isn't it a lovely morning?
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Everyone, 8:05 the time, hour number two here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Friday, April 17th, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston and Jay Hamm, Eli off today. He returns on Monday. We're live and local broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, right now, they got a hot tub and swim spa expo. It's going on until May 10th. The Battle of the Brands. Check it out at 2120 Witten Road. Just north of I-40. Currently 66 degrees, going to warm up to 89 today. The record high for this date back in 2006, 91. It's going to be breezy once again. And then for tomorrow, a lot of rain, thunderstorms, looks like a washout. That's why Memphis decided to cancel their spring fest, which was a spring practice to wrap up the spring session for football. I shouldn't say canceled. They postponed it because they're going to have a similar event that'll take place, I'm sure, sometime in August once camp opens up for the fans to enjoy. But tomorrow looks like a washout. Sunday looks to be great. 72 degrees, sunshine. And then Monday, pretty much the same. In fact, early next week looks to be great. I'm just hoping that the rain holds off late next week because I got some golf. Got a little golf trip that I'm excited about. Hour two of the program brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers. And every Monday and Friday, they bring you the Memphis sports facts. Speaking of golf, did you know the Champion Tour's first major of the season began yesterday in Bradenton, Florida? It's the Senior PGA Championship. Of course, the PGA Championship on the regular tour will take place next month. But this is the Senior PGA Tournament and the championship. Leaders are at 6 under par, including the ageless Bernhard Langer, who is 137 years old and still somehow is always near the top of the leaderboard. But I bring this up as my Memphis sports fact because playing in this event, both Sean McKeel, Doug Barron, John Daly, I still consider him local, McKeel and Barron even par first round, not too bad. John Daly is one over par. James Gattis Jewelers, go visit them this weekend. They are your bridal engagement and anniversary jeweler headquarters for all your needs, from diamond engagement rings to watches of all types to earrings and necklaces and bracelets and pendants, one-of-a-kind estate and vintage jewelry, antique jewelry. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5, Saturday, 10 to 4, closed on Sunday. It's James Gattis Jewelers. All right, so here's what we got coming up. 8:25, Joe DeLeon on the NFL Draft, which will take place next week. We'll play 10 in a row at 9:05. And then Frank Bonner on Memphis Tigers football, kind of a spring recap. He will join us from the Daily Memphian. We can take your calls and texts as well on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. But I want to talk a lot of NBA in this segment. Certainly want to bring on the basketball historian, our producer, Jay Hamm. First of all, Jay, a couple of things. I watched the Jerry West documentary yesterday.
Still got it. I'll probably get to that tonight.
Is it on Prime? I forget.
It's on Prime.
Okay,
yeah.
It's on Prime. I've been watching a lot of documentaries because as I get older, not much to do in my life. So I watch a lot of TV. Play golf, but my back's been a problem. So I sit at home, I watch TV.
The simple things.
The simple things in life. This was really well done. Mm. And the tragic thing about it is they interviewed Jerry right before, like a couple of months before he died. Nobody knew, right? And then he passed in 2024. So, and then they interviewed everybody. They had everybody from Michael Jordan to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to Adam Silver. It was a cavalcade of who's who in the basketball world. And while I knew a lot about Jerry West, you learn a lot about Jerry West. You really do, about his personal life, which he was never really a guy that was willing to talk like that. He was more of an introvert. Had the pleasure of being able to sit down with Jerry West for 20 minutes when he became the president of basketball ops for the Grizzlies and was making the decisions. And, you know, there was pressers that we were involved in, but that was when it was like, we're going to get all the media from the area,
yeah,
all the newspaper guys and the radio guys and the TV guys and give them their chance to sit down with Jerry. And it was that was a great thing to be able to talk to a mastermind like Jerry West. But the accolades that he gets for Michael Jordan, I mean, he absolutely adored Jerry West. I mean, when you listen to what he has to say about Jerry West, and then others, of course.
My mom bought me a book like almost a decade ago. It was about Jerry West. It was about his run, you know, in the front office with the Lakers and as well as with the Warriors. It's called A Golden State of Mind. And it told tales from pretty much both sides. Great book.
Well, you think about, as a coach, he was, I guess you could say, a failure. He didn't want to coach. He was not a coach.
That wasn't his thing. Right.
He was one of those guys, again, it's like, I don't understand why you're not making every shot like I did. Because I'm not you, Jerry West. But as a creator of teams, what he did in Los Angeles twice,
right,
two different dynasties, then he goes to, does he go to the Grizzlies? For, yeah, he goes to the Grizzlies and resurrects a horrible organization.
Never been to the playoffs that Jerry West came through.
And okay, so all right, I'm bored. Let me go somewhere else. Yeah. Goes to Golden State. They have a dynasty.
Told the people at Golden State, if you trade Klay Thompson, I'm quitting right now.
They emphasized that in the documentary. Right. Yeah, they emphasized that. And that's Klay Thompson, man. He was in the documentary as well. How much
for Kevin Love, I believe it was. They were talking about trading Kevin Love around that time.
Well, they talk about all the great trades that he made when he traded Vlade Divac. Ended up with a guy named Kobe Bryant. He was okay.
What was that, man? That was Sonny Vaccaro. Chris Vernon used to have Sonny Vaccaro on his show all the time years ago. And Sonny told that story about how they pretty much screwed everybody out to get Kobe to L.A.
Oh, they were pulling like Red Auerbach was doing for so many years with the Celtics, pulling the wool over the eyes of the other GMs.
Right.
That's what Jerry was doing. And then, of course, from Golden State, he ended up being a, I guess, consultant with the Clippers?
Yes, he was.
He was never the general manager, right?
He was just consultant.
He was a consultant. And then, obviously, ill health, and he passed away. But I recommend people to watch. There's, you know, it's not a lot about the Grizzlies. There's a little bit about the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
They showed a shot of the, I don't know if it was Jerry's introductory press conference or a subsequent press conference, and I don't see myself. I know I'm in that room somewhere, but I see some blasts from the past. And then I'm looking at some of the guys that worked with me. I brought them in or helped bring them in at Channel 24. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, those guys were around when Jerry got the job, Jerry West. It's funny. I had to pause it, and I'm looking. I'm seeing some of the names of the guys that were there from the Marlon Morgans who used to work at the Daily, at the, excuse me, the Commercial Appeal. Peter Edmiston, who used to be, we had a show together, Peter and I, used to be on the radio station. Just a lot of the guys that you see. But it's a really cool documentary.
My dad pretty much summed it up with Jerry West. He said, you knew he was one of those when Richard Pryor even mentioned that he was one of the
They showed that as well. Right. And Jerry loved it. He talked about it. He said, you knew you had arrived. When in his the only person he could do it and get away with it is Pryor. Maybe Dave Chappelle now, but Richard Pryor about what he said, and Jerry absolutely loved it. So again, I recommend it highly to watch that documentary. Before we get to the games tonight and then the matches for tomorrow and Sunday, how about the NBA and the NBA Players Association agreeing that Cade Cunningham and Luka Doncic can bypass the 65-game rule as far as the minimum amount of games that you must play to be eligible for the postseason awards. Those guys were given the waivers, but Anthony Edwards was not. He was denied.
Me and my 94 feet of light brothers, we joked about this yesterday. We were like, Ant, this is what happens when you don't want to be the face of the league and you make it publicly noted. They didn't give you any benefit on that. Granted, we felt he should have got it, but we understand that he didn't. Why he didn't? With Luka, okay, you're talking about the birth of a child. I understand that one. With Cade, I think it came about more about when it happened with the collapse long, more so than anything. But crazy. I'm glad that they were able to get it for themselves, but I wish they were able to do it for Ant too, you know?
Look, I'm not going to go back down the road about debating the 65 games.
Right.
And I think that's something that'll be tweaked, maybe not this next year, but in the future. I know right now Adam Silver, the most important thing for him is getting the tanking fixed. But I mean, if you have a – I know they say there's exceptions to every rule. To me, if you got a rule, you got a rule. But if you're going to go ahead and let Cade and Lucas slide, then why not Anthony Edwards? I don't even understand that. It's just picking and choosing which event you think is more important or less important. I don't like it. I don't like it. You miss 65, you don't play 65, sorry, you're out.
That's what we said. It came back to bite him as far as not wanting to be that, making it notable, you know, to everyone that he didn't want to be that face of the league. Okay, we won't give you those perks then.
Exactly. The NBA awards ballots went out yesterday to the media via email. They're due back today at 2 p.m. Central. They were instructed that the play-in games are not expected to factor in. So the media has their ballots, and we'll see what ends up happening, especially with that MVP. Is there a chance? Because I think I've said it before, I would not be shocked if Wemby ended up winning the MVP over SGA. I think if anybody, it's the media that would do it, not the players.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
Okay, so Hornets Magic tonight, Warriors and Suns. Winner in each of those games is the eighth seed in their respective conference. Losers are done. They head to Cancun. Hornets are a 3.5-point favorite over the Magic. Grizzlies fans and the Grizzlies themselves will have an invested viewing experience because we know if the Magic lose right off the bat the first game, the Grizzlies are going to get a second lottery pick this upcoming June. If the Magic does win, they still can get in. If the Suns lose, there's a little bit more complication to that, but there is a good chance tonight, by the end of the night, the Grizzlies are going to have a second lottery pick, and that's what everybody is rooting for. But do you think the Hornets can go into Orlando and win the game?
I think they will.
I think they will as well.
And win the game. I just don't like the way that Orlando has been reeling. And I think for both of these games in general tonight, it's hard for me to go with the team that lost the previous one.
Right.
You know, just off the momentum alone. You know, but this one...
But can Paolo have that bad a game again?
He cannot afford to. You know, I mean, he's an all-star, but right now he's really looking like just that. He's looking like that all-star that you will never see that team really have a contention to win with him as the best player. He'll make all-star games. He'll put the numbers up, but they'll get to this point in the year, and they'll showcase pretty much he's not really one of those types.
Of course, Des Bain will be trying very hard to lead his Magic to the playoffs. He was great in their loss last time out, but the Hornets, they were able to survive Miami. They are a 3.5-point favorite. I think they win. I'm not so sure if they cover. I think this one goes down to the wire. Warriors and Suns. Suns a 3.5-point favorite. Do we doubt Steph Curry after what he did?
I don't want to, and I don't think I'm going to.
So you're
going
to take the road team again?
I'm not. You know what? At this point, especially in these like one-game scenarios, why wouldn't I not go with Steph?
I'm going with Steph as well. We're both in alignment here, taking the road teams, the Hornets and the Warriors. Again, do they cover the 3.5? I think the Warriors have a better chance of covering, especially if they limit Devin Booker. Now, Jalen Green can't go off for 35. But look, that minutes restriction crap that Steve Kerr said, that was out the window.
Well, you know what? Say it again, Steve. That way we can pretty much set the tempo for everything. Now, if you're Phoenix, you don't really want Jalen Green to go for 35 because if I'm Golden State, he's got to beat me with that. I don't think he can beat Golden State with that.
Well, again, if it goes the way we think it will go, the Grizzlies are going to be in good shape. So real quick, let's talk about Saturday and Sunday. Of course, we don't know all the matchups yet. That would include two on Sunday. But for Saturday, we do. Best of seven, first-round playoff series. Raptors-Cavaliers, what do you got?
I like the Cavs in that one, but I think the Raptors make it fun. They probably get it to five. Six wouldn't shock me, but I think the Raptors will take care of that. No, the Cavs take care of that in five.
Cavs in six for me. Nuggets-Timberwolves. A lot of people looking at this one that could be the most fun.
It could be the most fun. It really could go seven. I think it should go six or seven. I like Denver in this one. I just don't – not too sure about this Minnesota core group. I think they're going to shake the dice up at the end. Chris Finch might be moved out. They might shake the roster up
really?
A little bit.
Nuggets playing too well at the end of the season. Nuggets in five over Minnesota. Hawks-Knicks.
Might be my favorite one of the first round. Even though this time it's without Trae Young, it's a better team.
That still blows my mind. They got rid of an all-star, and they're way better.
Because they supplemented it with two great scorers who are veterans in Walker Alexander and C.J. McCollum, who can just still roll out of bed and go get you 30.
And Jalen Johnson's the new superstar.
And shout out to Nickeil Walker Alexander, averaged 9 points a game last year, bumped all the way up to 20 this year.
Wow.
Most improved player award coming for him. I think still the Knicks get that one at 6. The Hawks will make it fun. They will apply some playoff stress on the Knicks, but the Knicks will come out.
Knicks in 6. Yeah. I'm short to the point. Okay, Lakers Rockets. This is interesting because Doncic, we don't know.
We don't know. I mean, that's because
and Reeves is out.
Reeves is done. And so, I mean, I'm going with the Rockets on that one. I think I'm just still kind of blown back that we actually have Kevin Durant and LeBron in a mid-level type scenario for
first round playoff series. Yeah,
but it's kind of cool to see because it's like the ending of those two long careers from those two legends. But I think KD, who has the playoff advantage over LeBron in terms of head-to-head matchups, he adds on. They win it in 5, no less than 6.
I like Rockets in 5. If Doncic ends up playing Rockets in 6, I still like the Rockets, even if Doncic comes back. Because how close to 100% can he be? There's just no way. Sunday, Sixers-Celtics?
Blood feud.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. The Sixers haven't beaten the Celtics since the early 80s in a series. They don't play every year, but they've played a lot.
And they don't think
six times, I believe.
Yeah, they won't change in 2026.
Celtics in?
I say 5. I get a Sixers game at home.
Celtics in 5 as well, because I don't think Embiid's going to play.
No, I don't think he will.
Two of the other ones we don't know, so I'm not even going to ask for a projection yet. He's going to have the Suns-Warriors winner versus the Thunder. Of course, the Thunder will win that series. And then the Magic-Hornets winner will play the Pistons. And then finally, the Trailblazers and Spurs. Is that going to be our only sweep?
Probably be an early sweep, yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll be the only first-round sweep. I like the Spurs in 4. I also like what they're doing down at All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. Folks, you ready to see the USA in a new All-Star Chevrolet this summer? Olive Branch has it all right here in one place. A new Traverse, Tahoe, Suburban with that third row seating. New Silverados with April deals that add up to thousands in savings. Financing as low as 1.9%. You can go big with the new HD Silverado. Make no payment for 90 days because your good credit deserves it. Military, first responders, you get an extra $500 bonus. Nobody beats the All-Star Chevy certified and pre-owned selection. Every commercial Chevy truck and cargo van that you want is ready to get to work for you and your business today. And all the certified or pre-owned Tahoes, Trailblazers, Silverados, Equinox, and Corvettes are right there for you. If you have any vehicle you want to sell, bring it to All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. Get the most money for it today. So together, let's drive. Don't miss the work or vacation event. It's going on now in Olive Branch at All-Star Chevrolet and online at allstarautogroup.com. When we return, Joe DeLeon on the NFL Draft. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
To reveal the full spectrum of its dazzling color.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
I am absolutely fired up. The NFL draft is next week. We got a great insider to talk about it. I am one that just loves to sit down and watch as much of the draft as I can do. And this guy loves to do it as well. It's time to talk to Joe DeLeon.
Time now to talk about the college football weekend and look ahead with Joe DeLeon, co-host of the Ruffino and Joe Show, covering college football and the NFL draft at A to Z Sports. Here's Joe DeLeon with Greg and Eli.
Rocks! Joe DeLeon is our college football NFL draft insider, A to Z Sports NFL, the Ruffino and Joe Show, the sports geek for gambling. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe De Leon. We have the pleasure of having Joe on every single Friday. How fired up are you, Joe?
Oh, I'm very fired up. It's kind of crazy how quickly this year's draft class snuck up on us. It felt like at the beginning of April, it's just page turned and we're right here. It's right next week, but I'm excited. I'm excited that after all this work, it comes to a nice culmination. And they get a little bit of a break after that before the college football season turns around.
I know that you're busy working and doing a bunch of things with the NFL, with the draft and college football, but have you ever actually been to the draft? These cities now hosting, it's become such a big event.
I haven't, and I don't anticipate that I ever will. Now that I'm in the media, especially not, because it's
too crazy.
It's impossible to cover it on location. It just doesn't really make a lot of sense because of like the giant crowds of people that are there. But the other part with this too, like when I was in college, I had a teammate of mine who was also equally as into the draft, and every year he would say like, "Oh, let's buy plane tickets and let's go to the event." And I never really wanted to do that because it's so much more fun sitting on the couch, listening to the coverage, seeing the full entire broadcast. That's part of the experience. It's not like a football game. It's like actually seeing everything in front of you instead of just being stuck in the crowd while the picks are being made.
I am with you 100%. And then for one who just, not that I have a problem with crowds, but I don't want to be in the middle. I don't want to have to use the facilities and like people that go for the ball drop New Year's Eve in New York City in Times Square. I mean, what are you kidding me? How are you going to find your way? And probably every restaurant and place that you can go to closes and locks their bag. No, I don't want to be stuck in the middle of that stuff. I guess at the age I am now, Joe, you start to think about those things, you know, exit rows versus, you know, being in the aisle, being in the window seat on the plane, if you have to use the facility. So yeah, I would definitely not want to be amongst thousands and thousands of people, but there are a lot, obviously, there, because every year it seems to top the previous year, and Pittsburgh will be absolutely fantastic. Now, let me ask you about this story. I just noticed it yesterday. I was reading whatever, and this popped up. Okay, I don't know a lot about Kalen Black, but did you hear about his story where he went from a Raiders interview and then was flying back home to, I think it was, I don't know if it's Cincinnati, but he got stuck at O'Hare, and they give him an Uber to take from O'Hare to Cincinnati to meet with the Bengals. What was up with that?
I saw a glimpse of this. I didn't read into it, but I saw some people that were talking about it on Twitter. I mean, it goes to show the urgency for some of these teams that are trying to get these final visits in. I think I saw it was like $400 for his Uber, which is not super unreasonable to go from Chicago to somewhere in Ohio if it was Cincinnati. I will say this, though. I mean, I think that it goes to show how coveted Kalen Black is in this class. He's one of the most underrated running back prospects this year. I don't think that he'll be much more than a high-end RB2, but man, the kid runs hard. He tested pretty well. He seems like he's a pretty hard worker as well. It was funny seeing this, and I kind of would love to know if any other prospects had similar situations in their pasts of, you know, did they have to go through some crazy travel circumstances in order to get another visit in?
I'm not a big Uber guy, but I'm with people that are, and then so I jump in there with them. But I know they have Uber Black. I think it's like the high end. I mean, first of all, the guy's name is Black. I think I would make it Uber. I would have demanded Uber Black and have that nice vehicle. Here's the thing. If you're just in a regular Uber, you don't know who the hell's driving you. And you got to be with that dude for all those hours and all those miles. And especially if the dude wants to talk, oh, man, no, not for me. I don't like that at all. So, but this guy did it, and he went to Cincinnati, and he visited with the Bengals. So there's a lot of these stories. There's also this thing, and I had no idea that they did this with Washington. Maybe it just started the last couple of years under Dan Quinn. But they had maybe 2 weeks ago, an event where they brought in all the top prospects. Like, they all came. They were all together in Washington being looked over by the Commanders organization. Does that happen a lot?
So this actually, if I recall correctly, this was something that was talked about when Jaden Daniels got picked by them.
Mm-hmm.
They deliberately brought in, I forget which quarterback prospects that were there, but they brought in multiple players at the same time. And some people saw that as some sort of like power move and some weird dynamic approach of trying to see how they would handle being in a competitive environment like that with the guys that they were competing to get picked second overall with. I think Drake May might have been there. I forget exactly, but I think that the way that this is done and the way that I read this is that you're doing it to see how players interact, maybe not in the sense of like trying to put them in a pressure situation, but you know, how do they handle being amongst their peers? How do they handle being in a spot like that, knowing that it's a job interview? It's very interesting. And I think that considering the success of most of their draft picks, a lot of their early draft picks and just draft picks overall, a lot of them have been really good football players. Since Dan Quinn took over, they've had some of the best rosters and best rookie contributions. So I do think that to a degree it seems to be working, but it is pretty unique. They're one of the few teams that does it.
Yeah, what you just said, how you described it, is exactly what I read of why they're doing that. And that's just, it is. It's incredibly unique. Have you and Ruffino done your done a mock?
Well, so we don't do them on Ruffino and Joe Show, but we do them on Best Pod Available. And we've done a couple over the past couple of weeks.
Okay, so we're going to do this. We're going to do a rapid fire. We're going to do top 10, right? This is Joe DeLeon's top 10 in order. And then Jay Ham will keep a record of this, and we'll see how Joe does. Now, of course, there could be a trade of some sort that could mess up everything. But as of now, we got no trades. Top 10. Let's begin, Joe. Obviously, one easy. With the Raiders, they take?
Fernando Mendoza. I almost don't even need any analysis for this at this point. It's been locked since before the national championship. So, yeah, I don't think anyone's arguing with me on that one.
The New York Jets, again, assuming they get their pick in time, who are they taking?
I've thought about this a lot recently, and I know that there's some momentum for David Bailey, but I'm going to go with Arvell Reese. I just think that it's a little redundant for them to have David Bailey and Will McDonald, who are longer, explosive pass rushers. I think that you would want somebody who's a little bit more of a higher floor run defender if you're going to take another defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Reese makes a lot of sense because their linebacker room could use some youth and some athleticism, and you also get another weapon when you're able to use him as a blitzing presence on passing downs from time to time. So I think that Reese makes the most sense with how just generally weak across the board that roster is.
I actually like that. Arizona Cardinals on the clock, number 3.
I think that if Reese is off the board, they would take Francis Maui-Noah, who's one of the higher floor prospects this year. He's super reliable, got a really sturdy anchor. He's not somebody who's going to easily get driven off his spot. He might not have like ridiculously high upside of becoming like a really high-end offensive lineman, but he feels like the type of pick that is just a steady presence for the next 5 to 10 years for a team. And right now their offensive line needs help, and they need a new starting right tackle.
We have a lot of Titans fans, as you can imagine, in this area. The Tennessee Titans at number 4 on the clock. Who do the Titans take?
I think it's going to be David Bailey. I think that knowing the type of prospect, defensive end prospect or pass rusher prospect that Saleh has looked for, having somebody, and I just mentioned Will McDonald a second ago, he's very similar to Will McDonald in a lot of ways. I think that his size and his length would be perfect to improve their pass rush and for their defense to become super disruptive. At the end of the day, as much as Saleh might be looking for a weapon with Jeremiah Love, I really, really think that he's going to want to turn his defense into a presence that is going to inflict fear into his opponents. And right now, they just don't have the bodies to do that.
Yeah, look, he's a defensive guy. It makes sense. If Bailey is not there, do they pivot and go to Love, or do they take another defensive guy?
Well, I would imagine there's a lot of million different things that I think can happen here, because if Bailey's gone and Reese is on the board, I think that they would take Reese. If Reese and Bailey are gone with those first picks, then I would imagine that they would probably then just say, you know what, let's go with Jeremiah Love. He's the best offensive player in the class. It'll make our team a lot better. I feel like it has to be one of those three guys.
And before we continue, one other question. Tony Pollard from Memphis, friend of the show, starting running back last two seasons, I think, for the Titans after he came from Dallas. What would it mean for Tony Pollard? Would Jeremiah Love jump in right away and be RB1, or would it be Pollard and Love would learn from him? How would that work?
Yeah, I think that Jeremiah Love's the type of guy that immediately can be a high-impact player for a team. I don't think that it would completely just push Tony Pollard off the list of just people that would be part of the, like, a key role in the offense, because Jeremiah Love in college split carries with Jadarian Price. And I think that you're not going to directly split carries, but I think that having two explosive running backs is an asset. And I think that, like we've seen for the Lions, if at any point that you feel like you need to kind of focus on one player, you can use whatever momentum to push him onto the trade market. So I think that it would be good for Pollard either way, that he would have less pressure on his shoulders. He'd probably be a lot healthier. And I think that he'd be able to still produce at a high level.
Well, all right, number five, the New York Giants are on the clock.
I imagine that this is probably going to be Caleb Downs. As much as Sonny Styles has been brought up, I think that it's a little redundant for them to have two gigantic linebackers after they brought in Tremaine Edmonds. You had 2 6'5" linebackers. Typically, if you're going to look for another linebacker, you're going to try and find somebody who's a little bit smaller that's going to split block. I think that Styles would be a good pick, but the better pick would be for them to go with Caleb Downs. Their run defense is terrible. Their safety room is bad. They need to improve their safety room, and he's such a good run defender, he's such a good tackler, that their run defense would get vastly, vastly better.
Cleveland Browns, number six.
This, to me, feels like a Monroe Freeling spot, and I think that as Freeling has been a riser throughout this process, might not be your typical top 10 tackle, but got the length, he's got the size, the mobility for a bigger guy. I think that for a team that needs a left tackle after they address right tackle with Titus Howard, This is the prospect that they'd want to target.
Pick number seven, Washington Commanders.
This just feels like the Jeremiah Love spot. I think if Jeremiah Love makes it this far, there would be zero hesitation for them to create one of the most dynamic backfields that we've maybe ever seen, with Jaden Daniels being so electric when he's got the ball in his hands, and then he doesn't need to carry the ball as much. You've got the threat of Jeremiah Love every single time he touches the ball to be just one quick play away from a touchdown. I think that this would be the most compelling location for him to go to. And not to mention the fact they had a lot of defensive issues coming into free agency, and they were able to address most of them with the amount of cap space that they had. So I think that it alleviates the need to go defense here and allows for them to take Jeremiah Love.
Is there a possibility, especially if Love is off the board, that they could go Cornell Tate?
That, to me, is the other prospect that they would turn to, because, again, they did a really good job of spending money on defense that I think it allowed. I don't know if this was their approach, but the sense is that they probably looked at where they were sitting and recognized, all right, well, where we're picking, we can take Tate or we can take Jeremiah Love. One of those guys realistically is going to be on the board for us, and then if they're not, we could still just grab one of the best available defensive players, because in this circumstance, it would mean that Downs or Styles would still be there, like Styles is technically still here in this discussion.
Right.
Tate would be exactly who they would want, because outside of Terry McLaurin, that receiver room is quite thin. I don't see a lot of people talking about that.
Joe DeLeon joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. We are talking NFL draft that'll take place next week. Joe giving us his thoughts on the top 10. We're up to number 8, the New Orleans Saints.
For the Saints, if Reuben Bain is still here, he feels like the exact type of pass rusher that they have leaned on that has produced success just in the past few decades. Like Cam Jordan, very physical dude, very aggressive pass rusher. I think that play style is going to translate really effectively for Bain to take over. They've got some pretty good defensive line pieces, but they need somebody who's going to be a headache that offensive lines have to like really shade and prepare for. And I think that's going to free up the rest of the group very effectively. Bain, I don't think with the off-field incident that was brought up with the accident that he was involved in two years ago, I don't think it's going to knock him out of the top 10, but I think that a realistic sliding spot for him would be him falling to 8 here and ending up going to New Orleans.
All right, so the Chiefs are on the clock at number 9. I just heard where Brett Veach, their general manager, said that there could be a lot of fireworks, a lot of trades in this draft because there's not the 3 or 4 franchise-changing quarterbacks. So there's a lot of probably, I would say, parity maybe amongst the players. I don't know if that'll come to fruition, but what are the Chiefs going to do at number 9?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple directions that they can go. I love the idea of them taking Kenyon Sadiq, the Oregon tight end, who is extremely explosive. And I think that more people need to be talking about him as like one of the, like the rare, hard-to-come-by players that should be highly coveted and sought after. Like, if you're a team that wants to prove your offense, I'd draft Sadiq before I'd draft any of these wide receivers. I think that...
Wow.
Knowing that they already got some solid pieces at receiver, but they need to improve their weaponry for Mahomes in order to make his life easier. I look at what Sadiq can eventually evolve into, and he feels like the next coming of Vernon Davis. And lastly, he's a more impactful blocker than people give him credit for. And you've never really had a very good blocker in Travis Kelce. I think that you'd be getting a better athlete, and you'd be getting a guy that's going to have more of an intent as a blocker. Not suggesting that his career is guaranteed to be better than Travis Kelce's, but eventually when Kelce does decide to retire, I think that you're getting a potentially very unique transition to a player that is going to be huge for your team's success in the future.
The great Vernon Davis, the former Terp. He a fellow Terp. And then number 10, Cincinnati.
Yeah, Sonny Styles is still here on the board. I don't think that the Bengals could be more ecstatic. Their linebacker room was bad. It was really, really bad. They were really having a lot of trouble at linebacker. I know that Demetrius Knight was an early pick for them, and I'm holding out hope that he figures it out. But having Styles in there in this room really elevates things. They also improved their interior defensive line when they brought in Jonathan Allen. So they've got like an adult in the room, a good veteran who's going to be a solid presence for them. And I think that there's a hope that Shamar Stewart takes the leap, and maybe they try to address edge with their second pick. But having Styles and having a long, rangy athlete with good instincts is exactly what they need to do in order to improve that run defense. And also, improve their pass coverage. He's pretty solid in space and coverage with the background that he had being a former DB.
All I keep hearing about, and all the only name that keeps popping up in the last 3-4 days, every conversation is Sonny Styles, Sonny Styles, Sonny Styles. That doesn't mean he won't get picked earlier, but I think I would be surprised if he's there at 10.
Yeah, the thing with Styles that's been really funny is that I think that he fits the billing and the mold for a guy to go really early this year because he's been talked about and coveted for how great of a leader he is and how bought in he is. And people were blown away about how he did in the interviews during the combine. And he's an insanely freaky athlete. He's tall, he's long, and his instincts are good. This is not an Isaiah Simmons type of a circumstance. This is a guy who's very natural because he's played a lot of football. He's been around at Ohio State for some time, and there's been a year-by-year growth for him. His projection, as we're kind of seeing here, there's a little bit of volatility, and I think that the one bit that comes with this, we didn't do any trades. I feel like if he starts to move around a little bit and he makes it past the Giants, I feel like somebody would be enticed to trade up, and that was what the latest rumor was the Cowboys, maybe they would trade up to that 6th spot where the Browns are picking.
All right, last thing for it before we let you go. What's going to be the one, and it could be a number of them, but the one big surprise that's going to happen in the first round on Thursday?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call this like a crazy big surprise, but the one player who I think is maybe not on the radar of the average fan that I think is going to maybe go in the first round is Trayden Stukes, the defensive back from Arizona. There's been a lot of momentum and buzz for him. He is an older prospect, but he's a really solid a slot defensive back that is really good in coverage. He's a little more of a slot corner than he is a safety, but he's multiple. He can do a lot of different things. He can play in the box. He's a solid and aggressive run defender. And I think that for a playoff team, that's the type of piece that you target. If you're a team picking in the back end of the, you know, in the 20s, you're looking for that really specialized role to take your defense to the next level. Like, you know, maybe it seemed like the Carolina Panthers are a team that consider taking him, which they've been a bit of an enigma for projecting like what they're going to select because their roster's kind of balanced, but there's a lot of young pieces that need to take a step. Stoops to me is going to be that one dude that maybe a lot of fans are going to be going, who is this guy? We haven't heard much about him.
Well, we got you marked down. We'll see how that, if it comes to fruition. Like I said, all bets are off if all of a sudden there's all kinds of trades. But that's Joe's thoughts on the top 10. You can, of course, read Joe, A to Z Sports NFL, covering college football, NFL draft. Also, for all you gamblers out there, and there's many of them, the Sports Geek, and, of course, the great podcast, the Ruffino and Joe Show. He's everywhere, and he's with us every Friday. So next week, we'll already know, because the first round will be over when we talk to you on Friday. We'll be preparing for rounds 2 through 7. Joe, as always, great stuff. We appreciate it. Have a great week.
Thanks. Have a good one.
That is Joe DeLeon, so knowledgeable on the NFL, and of course, during the college football season, we have him as well, spreading that knowledge. All right, one of our great sponsors is Corky's. Corky's Ribs and Barbecue for lunch or for dinner. Yeah, right now you're thinking, breakfast? Let me get a breakfast sandwich. I'm going to work. I'm starving. I get it. I understand. But later on today, lunch, dinner, how about this weekend? Where are you going to bring the family? Bring them to Corky's. 4 locations, Poplar Avenue in Memphis, Poplar Avenue in Collierville, Germantown Parkway in Cordova, Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Now, you don't have to go anywhere. You can have Corky's delivered to your home or office. Set price at $3.99. You can have these other services deliver it as well. You can roll through the drive-thru, no contact, right? Pick up your food, bring it home for the family. Lunch specials every day. Party packs that start at just $7.49. They also cater. They've been catering for the entire existence of Corky's. 40 years. 40 years and counting. 40 great years, and they've been catering that entire time. You got an event coming up, you want it catered, call Corky's. They'll start you out as low as $7.99 per person. You can always pick up a Corky's gift card and reserve their private party room for an occasion like a birthday party, anniversary celebration, maybe a family reunion. In Cordova and in Olive Branch, they have the private party room. So again, contact them to find out what you need to do to reserve some time and a date for Corky's. Corky's Ribs and Barbecue, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Don't you just love it?
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Very superstitious. Writings on the wall.
Coming up in hour number 3, we'll open up with 10 in a row, the game show that has swept the nation. I think it's a pretty easy question. Fairly easy. Got a great prize package for you. We got some baseball to talk about. We're going to talk Tiger football with Frank Bonner at 9:25. Of course, next week, a ton on the draft. It's always great to talk NFL, college football with Joe DeLeon. A couple of other things about the draft. And like I said, Veach thinks that there's going to be a lot of movement because there's a lot of parity. There's not a lot of guys who he believes are franchise changers. Certainly, Mendoza is what the Raiders are hoping will become their franchise quarterback for a decade or so. But I'm looking at Mel Kiper Jr. and his mock draft, his latest mock draft. It's just strange to see this, but he does not have an SEC player being taken until number 10 in the first round.
I'm just still surprised that Mel's been still doing this after 30 or 40 years or whatever.
He's still doing it. He still has the enthusiasm. I love him.
He still has the immaculate hair as well.
He does, somehow, some way. Mansoor Delane from LSU, cornerback, is his projected 10th pick by the Cincinnati Bengals. But that's the first that he has from the SEC. Then he has Caden Proctor, the offensive tackle from Alabama, going 12 to Cleveland, but that is a projected trade with Dallas, because I've seen a lot of mocks where they have Proctor in the 20s. And then after that, you don't have another SEC player, again, in Kiper's mock until Monroe Freeling, the offensive tackle from Georgia, going to the Lions at 17. Overall, though, there ends up being 9 from the SEC in the first round because he has a lot of these guys going in the 20s. And what's interesting is we've talked a lot about Jermod McCoy, who was injured for the most part this past season with Tennessee, but he is sought after by a lot of teams. They think he can be tremendous in the National Football League. He had that torn ACL that he sustained in January of 2025, so missed all of last year. But they know that the tape is really good. His ball skills are great. He is projected to go 24 to Cleveland, but he's not the only cornerback from Tennessee projected in the first round because, again, this is not etched in stone. This is just one guy's opinion, Mel Kiper Jr. But Colton Hood, Tennessee cornerback, going to the Chiefs via the Rams at pick number 29. So that'll be pretty cool if there's a couple of Vols, two in the defensive secondary that go in the first round. As far as Ty Simpson is concerned, once again, a lot of trades being projected by Mel Kiper Jr. and probably other people who do the mocks. That's hard. That's hard to just, unless you got some inside information, even though they don't know. It takes two to tango. It's hard to really project trades, but he has the Arizona Cardinals via a projected trade moving up to number 30 and taking Ty Simpson. So the Alabama quarterback, who I think somehow, some way, is going in the first round, he has him going at number 30. And then interesting, he has Jadarian Price, the other Notre Dame running back, going in the first round, as others have had as well in their mocks, going to Seattle. Jadarian Price at number 32. But there's going to be some interesting things, no question about it, in this NFL draft. There always is. I just love it. I think it's fun. There's a lot of people that couldn't care less about the NFL draft. But I do believe Simpson will be taken, so it'll be two quarterbacks in the first round. There are going to be quarterbacks taken. There's just not a lot going to be taken early. And who knows how lucky you can get, because we've seen it throughout history. There's been flops taken in the top five, taken one overall. And there have been guys who have been taken late in the fourth, fifth, sixth round that have been really good. Of course, the biggest story is Tom Brady being picked in the sixth round. The GOAT, the rest is history. But I think guys like Drew Aller from Penn State, Garrett Nussmeier from LSU, some of those guys will be taken maybe second, probably third, fourth, fifth, in that area. Could be second day, could be third day. That will go in, and who knows? Who knows what will happen? But I don't think it's worth taking an early shot with these quarterbacks because there's just not enough to tell you that they will be franchise changers. Why waste a first or second round pick unless, of course, it's Francisco Mendoza who's going to be the number one overall?
Anytime we get on that part of it, I always go back to what my guy Mo Schefter, who will be on with us today on the happy hour at 11:30. He's our football guy. He always says that it's better to oversign than to overdraft. Meaning that you reach too far for that draft pick, that can really set you back. But when you oversign it, Kirk Cousins, in that particular instance, you still, at least you got a veteran there that at least, you know, you can make some justification for.
Well,
that.
And I listen to him. He's very good. There's two ways to look at it. Yes, if he's talking about overdoing it with the draft, meaning taking a guy in the first round, he ends up being a bust, and you're questioning whether or not you think that he could be a franchise changer, and you take him early, absolutely. But you financially, see, the thing is with the rookies, yeah, the rookie scale is pretty good for first-round picks, but you get yourself a free agent and sign into a big contract, and he ends up being a dud.
Yeah, that hurts.
So, yeah, you can get hurt both ways.
Both ways.
I don't know
one's
better than the other. All right, it's 9 o'clock. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll play 10 in a row if you want to jump in early. 901-360-8255. The Sissy's Law Cabin listener lines are open to you. And then Frank Bonner at 925. Hour 3, our final hour of the week on the way. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.